Excuse me. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 4 this morning, please. Proverbs chapter number 4. And as we're able, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to read verses 20 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse number 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray. Father, make us wise. Give to us the appetite that you have for us to be skillful in living. And I pray this for us in Christ's name. Amen. And you may, of course, be seated. I forgot, we have special music this morning. And to add to that blessing, I will not be joining them. So, sorry, ladies. Amen indeed. So a few weeks ago, we began to give some attention to the book of Proverbs. We will not deal with every single proverb. By design, I think the book does not lend itself easily to structure, although the first 9 chapters, I would argue, are primarily principles about wisdom and the promotion of wisdom, and then the remainder of the book is the practice of wisdom. I think we could do it like that. Solomon, apart from Jesus Christ, probably the wisest man to ever live, is trying to instruct his son Rehoboam in how to be wise. This is being recorded for us because God wants us to be wise. God has nothing to gain by his people living foolish lives. It doesn't make him look better. It doesn't add anything to him. God looks the best when his people pursue his wisdom. Last Sunday we were in chapter 2, and I closed by pointing out that what Solomon desired for his son is really a matter of internal acceptance, not external compliance. He is looking for, how would we use it, explain it in our language? He is looking for Rehoboam to buy into the value of wisdom. He wants wisdom to become part of the DNA of Rehoboam's family. And that is one of the things that Solomon mentions here in verse number 23 of chapter number 4. It doesn't stand alone. And I would suggest to you that verses 20 through 27 constitute kind of its own devotional, if you want to think of it that way, its own body of instruction that dad gives to his son. It begins with my son, and then in chapter 5 he is off to another kind of devotional. And I don't mean in any way to minimize what's going on in the book of Proverbs. Solomon has something to say to his son of critical importance. As a rule of thumb, I think we can safely say that people want the easiest possible pathway to things. And I think that our society argues for that and lends itself to that. We have long been in love with get-rich-quick schemes. And one of the reasons, certainly not the only reason, but one of the reasons that internet scammers have some level of success is because people are greedy and the opportunity to make gain quickly. I am amazed when I look at the junk folder of my email accounts how many people are wanting to give me money. It is just mind-blowingly staggering that total strangers desire to send me cash. And people are easy prey for that. We want to lose weight without difficulty or discomfort or dieting. And so we have a society that offers to us no end of miracle cures. Take this pill, eat everything you want, and all will be well. We want to earn extraordinary wages with the minimum amount of education and investment and time and skill. A man by the name of Robert Livingston, now dead, a psychiatrist, an unbeliever, that is his own testimony, that he does not believe the gospel. Like many lost people, is pretty good at diagnosing what's wrong with us. He doesn't credit it to sin nature, but he can look kind of objectively at what's wrong with us. This is a man who was, for many years, a therapist. And this is one of the things he said in his book, Too Soon Old, Too Late Smart. Before we can do anything, we must be able to imagine it. This sounds easy, but I find that many people do not make the link between behavior and feelings. I blame modern medicine and the advertising industry for much of this problem. We become used to the idea that much of what we don't like about ourselves and our lives can quickly be overcome with little effort on our part. The marketing of medications that favorably affect our mood, changing our appearance through plastic surgery, and self-improvement through consumption all play into the fantasy that happiness is for sale. But if we're going to be wise, we're going to listen to the Lord and we're going to realize that it is not that easy. God wants you to be wise, but there is no magic pill. There is no speedy miracle cure. There are lots of people who want to be righteous if they could be righteous on the cheap. There are lots of people who want to do right if they had no temptation to do wrong. But it is just not how God has the world operating. And to that end, Solomon speaks to us in verses 20 through 27. Remember, this is a father talking to his son. And this is not any father. This is a very wise father. This is a man who knows a few things. And he is earnestly pleading with his son to follow the right path. Unfortunately, we know Rehoboam doesn't. But Solomon is endeavoring to get him to see the value of it. Verses 20 through 22 are the appeal. Verses 20 through 22 are the appeal. And the appeal is very simple. Fill your life with God. Fill your life with God. One of the things that characterizes this short passage is that Solomon kind of incorporates the whole of the human body into it. Our ears, our eyes, our feet, we're kind of completely engaged in what Solomon has to say here. Verse number 20, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my, incline thine ear unto my sayings. These are imperatives. These are commands. Solomon is insisting that Rehoboam do this. You must turn your ears to listen. You've got to do this, son. You've got to do this. You've got to incline. And it's just another, it's a repetition. He's not trying to make two different ideas. He's using two expressions to make the point. You've got to listen. You've got to pay attention. And he's not here an egotistical father. I think this might be one of those instances where Solomon is aware that he is speaking under the inspiration of Scripture. He's not saying, listen to me because it's me. He's saying, listen to me because this is wisdom. You must hear this. And folks, I think we all understood that. It'd be one thing if I stood up here and told you what I thought. But my task is to tell you, is to stand here and tell you what God thinks to the best of my ability. To the best of the Spirit's ability to tell you what the Lord thinks on any particular subject. So my son, this imperative, verse number 20, an appeal to Rehoboam. Verse number 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of the heart. They must be the center of your life. They must be at the very core of all that you say and all that you do. Do not let them get away from you. Do not let them slip away. Do not let them get out of your grasp. Keep them always in the middle. And there is a reason for that in verse number 22. For they are life. For they are life to those that find them. Life to those that find them. Health to all their flesh. The sad, unfortunate reality is that many people will not be wise. The sad reality is that many people will do exactly the opposite of what Solomon instructs in chapter 3. They will lean on their own understanding. They will trust their own logic and thinking. They will believe most their conclusions and perceptions. But here's the promise of the word of the Lord. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings, the wise sayings of Scripture. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Here's the diet that we all desperately need. The diet of God's Word. A steady feeding upon the Bible. Which brings me then to this. Is that it? Right? We have a chart back in the back that people have signed up for that are tracking their Bible reading calendars. That's a good thing. Please do not misunderstand. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to be regularly in the Word. Is that it? Is that all there is to be regularly in the Word? No. And that's why Solomon turns his focus next. Not only to make the Word of God center in your life, but to make the Word of God center in your activities. The Bible that we take in, folks, must be lived out. The things that we learn from Scripture must be put into action. And they are going to encompass a variety of places. These are the necessary activities, verses 23 through 27. And again, Solomon here is really trying to hammer home to his son the urgency of this. When we try to instruct our children about something that is really important, we speak to them from a sense of urgency. And we speak to them passionately. And we try to appeal to them. You've got to get this. This really matters. And that is the way that Solomon speaks. So not only must you, verses 20 through 22, listen diligently to God. You must listen diligently to God. But not only must you listen diligently to God, you must, first of all, verse number 23, protect your heart carefully. You must protect your heart carefully. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. The idea there is guarding. In Isaiah 1:8, the word is translated besieged city. Keep. It is a besieged city. Put your heart in a form of prison. Surround it with strong gates and strong bars. That's actually what the word diligence used. In Genesis chapter 40, when Joseph was put in ward, that's the word. They put Joseph in prison. Put your heart in prison. Guard it. Protect it. I mean, let's be realistic, folks. In the world that you and I live in, most people are more discriminating about what they put in their mouth than they are what they put in their heart. Virtually any harebrained idea, virtually any song, virtually any movie, virtually any image, virtually any idea, that comes right in. And Solomon goes on to explain to his son why this is. Why must I basically imprison my heart? Because out of it are the issues of life. And the word issue has the idea of boundaries. Your heart will determine the limits of what you do. Which from a Christian perspective, our heart, if our hearts are right, they will seek to know the Lord's boundaries. But unbelieving people don't want to be contained by right and wrong as defined by Scripture. They want to set their own boundaries. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now, Solomon does not give to Rehoboam a list of ways to do that. He doesn't say to him, now, here are five things, son, that I think will help you to keep your heart. But our hearts must be guarded, folks. They must be protected. We must take some effort and responsibility for the state of our souls. We'll get into this a little bit more next week in Sunday school. All right, we talked this week about lingering sin nature, and we'll talk next week. We'll turn our attention to the process of sanctification. It is something in which God engages us. He tells us to act and to think and to speak and to do certain things. And he is appealing not to our sinful flesh to do those things, but to our new regenerated natures to do those things. There are acts to perform and duties to discharge that are all part of that process. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. So not only do we take in the word, we protect our hearts. We are guardians of the heart. Now, as parents, right, sometimes, right, because out of the heart are the boundaries of life, and as parents, right, we do a lot of the boundary setting. This is a good thing that we set the boundaries for our children's behavior. They don't always appreciate that, but hopefully they will come to appreciate and understand it at a later time. Secondly, verse number 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from me. So again, right, the wisdom is not simply taking in the word. It is not simply receiving the word. It is then listening to the word and obeying the word, guarding my heart. There are, folks, songs you shouldn't hear. There are, folks, movies you shouldn't watch. There are books you shouldn't read. There are websites you shouldn't visit. There are philosophies you should avoid. There are conversations you should not be part of. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. Guard your words. Verse number 24. Guard your speech. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Turn away from. The Bible has so much to say about the way that we speak. Pastors, and all who speak frequently, but I think primarily in terms of pastors, we all kind of live under the shadow of Solomon. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. What a blessing it is to not talk. What a blessing it is to not talk. Put away from thee any kind of linguistic distortion. You know this, folks. And this is true, I would argue this is true equally of all sides, conservative, moderate, radical. Right, we are being blasted with political commercials that are playing all kinds of linguistic gymnastics, all kinds of partial truths, complete fabrications, misrepresentations. There is no place for that in the vocabulary of a believer. None whatsoever. Don't let them be froward, which has the idea of crooked or distorted. Don't let them be perverse, which has the idea of deviant or crooked. Again, Solomon is not trying to make two distinct points. He's making one point using two distinct words. Don't let your words be twisted. Don't twist them. Jesus told us to say yes and no. Yes and no. Be pointed. Be clear. Don't play word games. Don't lie. Don't be like Abraham, who kind of hid the truth by telling part of the truth. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We are not supposed to be gossips or backbiters or whisperers. Solomon has lots to say about that. People who not only want to know exactly what's happening, but people who then want to repeat and talk about and speculate about all that is happening. Guard your heart. Guard your lips. Watch the things that you say carefully. Verse number 25, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Again, a proverb, complementary ideas making the same point. Glue your eyes to the right path. Guard your heart, guard your lips. Put your eyes on the right path. How many times have you told your child? How many times have you gone to track meet, right, to the Nebraska Association of Christian Schools track meet, and seen some child lose the race or almost lose the race toward the end because they turn around to see who's behind them? Keep your eyes on the road ahead of you. Pay attention. This is the idea. Pay attention. Guard your heart. Guard your words. Be attentive. You know, I want to be very careful here because I want to guard my words. But you know, last week we had another school shooting in Omaha. Kind of an isolated case, what appeared to be a personal grievance. And part of the news story was on the Omaha Public Schools revisiting their protocols. Good for them. But I thought, isn't it amazing? It doesn't seem to matter what the issue is. Over the course of time, human beings become lax, comfortable, and unattentive. Right? It could be nuclear threat. But if you tell people every day they live under nuclear threat, eventually they'll get used to living under nuclear threat and it will mean nothing. And so the Bible is constantly, constantly telling us, I don't know, I should have checked, I could have counted and given you the answer, how many times Jesus Christ told us, watch, just watch, watch out, watch where you walk, watch how you think, watch for my coming. Just always be on guard. Always be attentive. And how easy it is to lose that sense of urgency. To become complacent. So, fill your life with Scripture. Put a prison around your heart. Guard your words. Stay on the right path. Verses 26 and 27, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot far from evil. Stay on the pathway of doing that which is right. The word ponder doesn't really have the idea of meditation. To us it does. We ponder to meditate. The word that Solomon used there has more the idea of making things level. David raises this issue. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And the idea there is just kind of making a safe, impediment-free path. No potholes, no detours, no barricades. Obviously not Omaha, Nebraska. Or all the roads that are not filled with potholes are filled with barricades. Right? Don't put obstacles in your way. You know, folks, part of the advantage of the Lord's wisdom is that the Lord can see into the future. we kind of wonder, now, if I make this decision now, I wonder what it'll look like in 5 or 10 years. And when the Lord is telling us what to do, he can see 5 or 10 years down the road. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Do the right things. Keep your eyes on the road, verse number 25. And make it a good road that your eyes are fixed to, verses 26 and 27. And how easy it is to get fixated on the wrong kinds of things, isn't it? It is very easy. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is a great Bible verse to quote. Well, it's tough to live. It is tough to live. Let your ways be established, be firm, be steadfast in doing the right thing on the right road. Make this your commitment. Don't turn. And this, Solomon here is not saying be in the middle of the road politically. Right? He's talking about a moral failing, and the rest of the proverb, verse 27, helps you to understand that. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Right? Stay on the right path so that you don't do the wrong thing. Put your eye on that path, but make sure that it is the right path. God's wisdom for young Rehoboam. Folks, we all know this. There are no mature, godly saints by accident. They don't just happen. It doesn't just magically appear over time. It's not like that. Well, I read my Bible every day, and that's great, but that's not all there is to being a mature, godly person. And they don't just happen. Now, I probably could have figured this out anyway, but my wife loves to garden, and one of the things I've learned from her years of gardening is that if you want the garden to be beautiful, you have to work at it. And if you want it to be just weeds, you can just let it go. And godliness comes by work. This is the way of the Lord. It is the will of the Lord. He wants you to be wise. He will give to you wisdom. But there is labor involved in making the right decisions, avoiding the wrong situations and circumstances, consciously being aware of what it means to be a Christian, endeavoring to make the right kind of decisions. This is the advice God gives to his son. It's the advice God gives to us. Let's pray. Father, of course, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and trust in Christ is the fear.